Very often when we're learning a sugya, in a more lamaisa think of a sechta, I know we can call it a kama, most lamaisa masechta, at least it's a little bit more lamaisa than some of the sugyas we're about to talk about today. So very often we realize that some of the key components of the sugya find themselves in a totally different area of halacha, a gamri different masechta, that unfortunately we don't really have a halacha lamaisa right now. So there's a classic example of this, that we're learning a sugya in Bava Kama, which is really a sugya about mazik and nizam, those that do apply to the banazah. And much of the discussion is going to revolve around intricacies about a sugya that relates to Maseches Bechoros. I guess we could find it a little bit more relatable because it wasn't Daf Yomi just a couple of days ago, so some people still have a little fresh in their minds. And that's the sugya we just barely began to start the other day, of Achilas Klavim B'Psuli HaMakdashim, a very, very detailed, almost intricate question concerning Psuli HaMakdashim. So Makdashim means a korban, an animal that was dedicated as a korban, and when I sanctified it as a korban, it was all ready to go. It did not have a mum, and then it subsequently developed a mum. So at that point, it becomes possible to bring as a korban. So most of the time, with the exception of a bechor and a mice, I have to be pulled it, I have to redeem it. And I take that money, and I use that money to bring another korban eventually. But the question becomes, what is the status of that animal itself? So the Torah says explicitly that animal is basically chulin, that you're a bisharecha tochlenu, you're allowed to eat it out of Yerushalayim, you don't have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, hatomei v'tor yachtav yochlenu, you're allowed to eat it when you're tomei, it's tomei, all the din of tuvatar are suspended for it. So it sounds like it's 99.99% chulin, with a couple of quirks, a couple of exceptions. The Torah says that you're not allowed to shear its wool, certain other things here and there, you're not allowed to do to it. But for the most part, it's considered to be pretty much chulin. But again, we do call it the status quo psulim mekdashim. So one of the 0.001% of differences between this and regular chulin is that if I have a regular animal, chulin was never hektish in the first place, if the animal dies, okay, sad, I can't eat it, obviously, it's a nevela, but I can use it for other things. First and foremost, I can feed it to my dogs. I can sell it to the goyim. I can use it for anything I want. So that's obviously hetter gomer if it's chulin. If it's psulim mekdashim, everything changes. Because the Torah says that v'achalta, and the Teshuva Pet teaches us, v'achalta v'lo l'klavecha, that I cannot feed it to my dogs. So psulim mekdashim is off limits, can't be fed to the dogs. Why in the world do we talk about this? How does it impact the Bava Kama? So now the Gemara raises the question of Daftaz, how would this apply, how would this impact on the following question? I dig a bore, and your animal falls into the bore. So, Bala boy shalem, I have to pay you. Not so simple. The animal that fell to the bore happened to be, just by luck, it was a psula mekdashim, the animal. So you are livid, you are angry, you are coming screaming at me, you are mafsid, you caused me a big loss. Here I was planning on shechting this animal. As it says in the Torah, b'sharechet ochlenu, atamei v'atamei, it's a $10,000 cow, and Nebuchadnezzar just fell into the bore, now it's worthless. And I say, I'm sorry, I don't have to pay you a penny. Anyway, because you're such a hefsid b'mon, because it says in the Chumash, Bala boy shalem, kesev yeshiv levalav, v'hameis yellow. The Torah, in describing the parasha of Bor, says that the dead animal will be taken by the nizer, by the person who was damaged, the person who lost the animal, and then the Bala boy has to add on the difference. Let's say the animal used to be worth 10,000, now it's worth 1,000. It can't be sold for kosher meat, it's sold as trefa meat, so fed to the dogs. So now it's worth 1,000. So the nizer takes the dead animal, and the mazik, the Bala boy, pays another $9,000 to the top. So that parasha, Bala boy, yishalem, kesev, yishiv, alav, emesi, alav, is presupposing that the dead animal is useful, that that animal is going to be able to be taken by the nizuk, by the person whose animal died, and use it for something. He's going to feed it to his dogs. So comes the Gemara and says, therefore, if the type of an animal that fell in is not feasible to be fed to the dogs, it's what the Gemara coins a phrase, yotze misha'ena meishalo, that the nizuk doesn't have the mace, he can do with the mace whatever he wants. Guess what? The whole parasha board doesn't apply. So this is exeris akoso, this is yotze min haklal. This is not true by other mazikin. If my animal gores your psulia mekdashim, I have to pay you. There is no din of a meisi alo by other mazikin. So again, as we've already learned for the last 10 months, that each mazik has its own set of unique rules. Bor is potter on kalim, and shein v'regel is potter b'shez harabim, and shor pays chatzin ezek. I mean, we know that there are. That's what the Gemara says at the beginning of Bava Kama l'Hilchos Seiyah, that each mazik has its own unique status. So for some reason, this is almost like we would call like a chok shev mishpat, that this is parashat mishpatim. So parashat mishpatim is usually logical. We usually understand pretty much what's going on. But every once in a while, the Torah throws the curveball. Even within parashat mishpatim, we don't understand everything. Why should there be such a din that psulim mekdashim is potter? I have no idea why. But that's the din. That's what the Gemara derives from a pasuk. So that's really where our sugi begins. So in order to understand how this plays out in terms of Bor, one has to analyze and get a better understanding what the nature of this din is of Achilas Klav Mepsulim Magdashim. Again, everyone agrees, Machlokes in the Gemara. We pass in the Halacha that there's such a din. It's derived from Gzeiras HaKosov, from a Pasuk V'Echad Lo L'Klav Echa. One could raise a basic question about what this Issur is all about. Should we take this din very, very literally? This is what was Nimtzal Moshe Rabbeinu, V'Echalta V'Lo L'Klav Echa. Psulim HaMagdashim are not allowed to be fed to the dogs. What if I want to do other things with the dead animal, Psulim HaMagdashim? I don't want to feed it to the dogs. Let's say, for example, I have other hanos. I want to run a medical experiment with a dead animal or something. I want to use it for firewood or something. I think about half a dozen other hanos that I could use with the dead carcass. Because today, Vishtay, where does it say it's also? The starting point that I love is everything is mutter until proven also. So it doesn't say. The Torah says, B'sharecha tochlenu, hatabi v'atoy yachtav k'tziv v'chayol. The Torah says it's chulin. It's 99.9. It's, the starting point is an animal that got a mum, it was redeemed. It's chulin gemurim, basically, with a quirk. You can't just shear its wool with a quirk. You can't feed it to the dogs. But if it's not part of those quirks, not part of those dinim, yuchadim, those special dinim, so it's mutter. So there's no din that psulim magdash was asa b'hanoa. It's just that you're not allowed to feed it to the dogs. That's one way of understanding the Gemara in a very, very limited sense. Or maybe no. Maybe Achilas Klavim is almost an example. But Achilas Klavim is an illustration. Achilas Klavim is just simply indicative of a category of other kinds of hanah. What the Torah is saying, V'yachalta. The emphasis is not on the negativity of V'lo L'Klavecha. The emphasis is on the positive of V'yachalta. The only way to consume, the only way to use Psulim HaMagdashim is to eat it. If you use Psulim HaMagdashim in any other shape or form besides eating it, that's a bitl, that's a violation of this din of V'yachalta. So Chazal said V'lo L'Klavecha, Chazal could have just as easily said V'yachalta V'lo for firewood. V'yachalta V'lo for medical experimentation. Why did they say L'Klavecha? 99% of the time, in the olden days, L'Gershah, the Torah says, "Vasa basana treif alo so chela kevta shnigel." So that's what you do with treif. That's what you do with the carcass. You feed it to the dog. You feed it to the animals. So how do you understand the nature of this drasha? V'chal v'lo klavecha is the emphasis on v'lo klavecha. It's an iser on the dog. It's an iser to feed the dogs. But all other isurim are all other hanos are permissible. Or do I say no? That v'achalta, the emphasis is on the positive. It has to be derech achilas ha'adam, and anything that's not derech achilas ha'adam would be a violation of this din of echad v'lo klavecha. So lom d'shab, briska chakira, within this quirk, within this detail of a din of what do you do with psulim hakdashim? Is it a din in the positive or is it a din in the negative? So how does this impact us? So we have to hang in for a minute to see what the ramifications of this are for Bava Kamma. But first we have to learn a sugya in Maseches Psachim, and the third of the Maamar Kamma is Psachim Chavtesim and Aleph. So the Gemara here also is talking about a very, very strange scenario. A person who, he made so many multiple mistakes that the mistakes may begin to cancel out each other. So the Gemara begins in a third of the Maamar Kamma, the Sanya. Ha'oichel chomet shel hektesh b'moed. Guy really, he was really out to lunch. No pun intended. He ate chametz on Pesach, and it happened to have been the slice of pizza that he ate happened to have been hektish. Somebody got all excited. They wanted to give their pizza to the Beis Hamikdash. What's the Beis Hamikdash going to do with the pizza? Forget about Pesach. So they're not going to do much with it. They're going to have to sell it. And I guess maybe the night after Pesach, they can sell it for, I don't know how much it went for this year, 30,000, 40,000, the first pizza. So Beis Hamikdash can do a lot with the slice of pizza. So the fellow has a piece of pizza in front of him. It's chametz for Pesach, and it's also davar shel hektish. Now the ramifications are obvious. There are multiple isurim that could be violated in what he's about to do. So number one, he may be chayv kares. Now that's going to impact in olam hazeh also, because if he did it b'shogeg, he's going to have to bring a korban chatas. Anytime you violate an issur kares unintentionally, you're chayv to bring a korban. Number two, there's also a potential issue of me'ila over here. But anytime you use something from the Beis Hamikdash, if you do it b'shogeg, if you do it unintentionally, then the Torah hits you with a whole parsha at the end of Parsha Vayikra called the Dinim of Me'ila, and there are three ramifications of Me'ila. Number one, you have to reimburse the Beis Hamikdash for what you cost them. Number two, you have to add on a fifth, Chamish Yisoy Yosef Alav. And number three, you have to bring a korban. You have to bring a korban of Asham Ilos. So this guy, with one pizza, one fell swoop, he's getting a lot. It's interesting because Chazal very often will draw these illustrations of a person doing something and getting multiple Isurim. It's not just for fun. The Gemara will do it. There's some very real halachic principles that sometimes illustrated by these very bizarre cases. Some of the more bizarre ones are probably the most bizarre ones. The Gemara says, Yesh Chorish Talam Echad, Mechayev eight Malkias. A guy could plow one field and be Chayev Malkias eight times. You have to time 39 times eight. That's not a pretty picture. So he's Chayev eight sets of Malkias. Wow, how can you do that? He's a real Lamdan. He's plowing a field on Yontif during Shemitah. That's Kilayim, using an animal. That's muzzled. He's got everything. He's a Nazir and a base of Kvaras. He's a Kohen Gadol. He's got all strikes against him. So here, too, this guy's not as creative. He only did two Yisurim. But the question becomes, what is he going to be Chayef for? So he's going to be Chayef for Chavetz and Pesach. That's a no-brainer. He's Chayef Kvaras. He ate Chavetz and Pesach. If he done it, amazing, he's Chayef Kvaras. That is B'Shog, he's Chayef to be a Korban Chatus. The question is, will he also be Chayef for the Korban Me'ila? So what's the issue? So Me'ilah is very complicated. Why is Me'ilah a little bit complicated here? Because one is only chayef for Me'ilah if one is mafsid hekdesh. The idea of Me'ilah, it's almost like a gezeilim in hekdesh. There's a lot of lumdus about this, but it's almost like an act of, almost like I stole from hekdesh. I trespassed. I took something away from that belongs monetarily to the base of hekdesh. So if there's, let's say, a slice of pizza today, 2 weeks after Pesach, that's sitting on the table, and somebody was makdesh this pizza to the base of hekdesh, and I ate the pizza b'shoigeg, then there's no question, I'm an actual moral hekdesh. I have to pay the keren, the value of the pizza. I have to add a chaymesh, a fifth. I have to bring a korban. That's a no-brainer. But what if I did this on Pesach itself? So one could argue, wait a second, maybe on Pesach itself, I'm not chayv me'ilah, because quite frankly, I wasn't mafsid anything from the Beis HaMikdash. Why wasn't I mafsid it? Because it's off limits anyway. What in the world could the Beis HaMikdash do with this chametz on Pesach? Who are they going to sell to? It's Asabana. No one's buying this chametz. No one's eating this chametz. No one's using this chametz. So the chametz, as a throwback to what we spoke about in one of the previous sugyas, the chametz may have no value. Maybe it doesn't really, it's not really worth anything. So the same way we learned in the past about different questions about the status of Isuri Hanoah, that the Isuri Hanoah may not have any real monetary worth to them. Because nice, you can't do anything with them.
Can't sell to Goy.
Oh, wait. We're going to see what you can and can't do with it. So the Gemara raises the question that maybe the Chometz and Pesach is worthless. Now it's on Pesach, not before Pesach. It's on Pesach. So it's third day, Chol HaMoed. The Beis HaMikdash has a slice of pizza sitting on the table, and the guy eats it b'shoigeg. Can we even speak about Me'ilah or not? That's part of the question. It means it may not even be mom and hekdesh. It may not be a hefsid mom and hekdesh altogether. Right. That's part of this whole discussion. So how do we view this mom? Well, there's no bayi rabbi matzah for hekdesh. Hekdesh.
Exactly.
Right. There's no bayi rabbi matzah, but it's still asab hanah.
Okay.
So since it's asab hanah, maybe that itself almost knocks down its value. So maybe that negates its value. So if it has no value, so then there's no gezeilah. If I steal something that's worthless, if I steal your dust and instill anything, it doesn't have any value. It doesn't have any marketable value. So it's chametz and pesach, just a piece of junk. It doesn't have any market of value, or maybe no. So that's what the Gemara quotes of Bryce in the third of the Ramakamas, in Psachim Choftes, the Sanya. Ha'oichel chomet shal hektesh b'moed ma'al, v'yesh omim lo ma'al. So the Gemara quotes b'achleik satanon. So the first opinion in the Bryce says, you are chayav mi'ilah. And the second opinion says, lo mo, you're not chayav mi'ilah. So the Gemara has almost a daf long to try to figure out what in the world is the machleik. What are they arguing? What are they fighting about? So we're going to skip to the fourth of the Ramakamas. We're going to go backwards. We're going to jump ahead 300 years. The Gemara first quotes the Braisa. The Braisa was written in the days of the Tanoim. Then the Gemara quotes the earlier Amoraim who were discussing this Braisa and different interpretations of this Braisa. And finally, 300 years later, Rav Ashi put together the Gemara. Him and his Talmidim put the final, edition of the Gemara. So Rav Ashi says, this is the Emes Pshat. This is the final word. This is what the Braisa is really talking about. So Rav Ashi says that there are so many different factors to understand that go into the Shaila. This is such a complicated Shaila. There are so many different nuances of the Shaila. Rav Ashi addresses multiple issues to try to understand why there should or should not be Me'ilah. So one issue that becomes our issue is the issue of podin es hakochim lachil leklavim, or ain podin es hakochim lachil leklavim. Are you allowed to be poda hekdesh? Are you allowed to redeem hekdesh not for the purpose of eating hekdesh? Does that make any sense to redeem hekdesh to, in a sense, feed to the dogs? Is that acceptable or not? So that's our sugya. Achilas klavim b'psulim b'kedoshim. So the Gemara says it's the same type of a sugya. Here I have a slice of pizza. So during the rest of the year, if I have a chabit sticker, if I have a hektish sticker piece of pizza, what would I do with it? The Beis HaMikdash for sure doesn't want it. So the Beis HaMikdash puts it up for an auction, highest bidder. So the guy says, I'm going to bid $5 for this slice of pizza. So the Beis HaMikdash says, great, we'll take your $5. So the $5 becomes Kadosh Mikdash's hektish. The pizza is Yatzel L'chulin. And Shalom, everyone's happy. I'm happy. Beis HaMikdash, everybody's happy. And what do I do with the pizza? I eat it for supper. That's normal pigeon hektish. I'm pulled to the hektish, and then I eat it, then I consume it. But this chametz on Pesach, you don't have the option to do that. You cannot do that even if you wanted to do that. Why? Because what are you going to do? I'm going to be pulled to the pizza. Right now, I'm going to give the Beis HaMikdash $5. What am I going to do with the pizza? I'm not going to eat it because it's an isakaris. It's chametz on Pesach. So maybe since I don't have the ability to be pulled it for the purpose of eating it, so that detracts from the value of the chametz. Because the only reason why I'm chayiv me'ila is because I stole mamon hektish. How do you translate whether something is mamon or not? If it's worth something on the market. So for example, I have a car. So my car, for argument's sake, is worth $20,000. Why is it? How do you know what something is worth? There it is. I'll go to the mechanic. I'll sell them. I'm selling you the car. I'll give me $20,000 in cash. Every item is worth something if it's on the market, if you can sell it. Chometz on Pesach is very, very tricky because you can't really sell it for eating purposes. That's out of the question. The only thing you could possibly, anyway, we didn't even discuss yet whether chometz is butter or asa bana. Maybe one could argue I could sell it for dog purposes. I could buy it to feed to my dogs. So the Gemara says, not so simple because maybe there's a rule of so that's a whole monkey wrench we just threw into the sugya. So Ravashi continues through the sugya and says, Ravashi Yomar, the Kuliyama ain't pulled. Everybody agrees, all opinions of Tanoim in this page and of Pesach Chavtas agree that you cannot be pulled the hektesh to feed to the dogs. That's just not an option. Next point. V'davar agorim the mom and lafka mom and doing. In addition, Ravashi says, don't tell me that maybe chametz has value. Why? Even though right now it doesn't have value, but in 3 days from now, when Pesach is over, it's going to have value. That's what's called the Dover HaGorev L'mamon. Dover HaGorev L'mamon means that Vashehu Sham, right now, if I would try to sell on the market, I would get nothing for it. But if I hang around for a couple of days, I wait it out, so something's going to be Gorev L'mamon down the line. So Rav Ashi says, that's not called mamon. That is not considered to be value either. So we have 0 for 2 in terms of this chametz. So what gives this chametz potential value? How come the first time the Bryce says mol, based on what? The chametz is worthless. It's worthless now. It's worthless in the future. What am I going to do with it? So comes and says, the issue is as follows. V'hacha b'plugsa de Rabbi Yossi aglili v'rabbanan k'mifligi, man de oma mol ki Rabbi Yossi, man de oma lo mol ki Rabbanan. The mechleges at Tanoim revolves around the chametz tikshayla, namely, we all know, every kid knows, chametz is asa b'achila and asa b'hano. We all know that's true. You can't benefit from chametz either. And we pask, and that's an issa deraisa, and the Gemara Pesachim derives it from Sukkim. Not even a shayla b'zman hazeh. That chametz of Pesach is not only asa b'achila, as it says explicitly in the Chumash, but chametz of Pesach is asa b'hano as well. We know that, but there was one Tan who didn't know that. That one Tan, his name was Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion was, chametz b'Pesach is mutar b'hanoah. It's also b'achila, there's no question about that. There's bai rova imatzi, you're not allowed to own it. So you'd have to figure out how could I be nana from the goy. So I have to figure out an eitz how to do that. But push comes to shove, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, if you have chametz and you're not eating it and you're not owning it, because hey, you want to feed it to your dogs, that's fine. You want to sell it, make money off it. Any kutz, anything you want to do with it, that's okay, according to the view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So it comes with Ashi and says, that's the Nekudas HaMachlokes. That's what they're arguing about. So we go back to the beginning of the third Makom for a second, Desanya. Oichel Chomet Shal Hektesh B'Moyed Mal. What does the first Tana say that Yechayev Me'ila? That's tantamount to saying that it's worth money. That's following that lone view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that Chomet Shal Pesach is permissible. Bahano'ah. Great, if it's permissible, but no, I could feed it to, sell it to the goyim, I could use it for firework, a million different things with it. Great, wonderful, and therefore it's worth something, and therefore I'm chayav me'ila. V'yeshayimrim, and the other opinion that says, lo mol, that's us. We have just been delegated to be a yeshayimrim. We're an afterthought in the Braisa. We're the majority view, but the Braisa presents us as a yeshayimrim. We're the minority view in the eyes of the Braisa, that maybe, chomet is also b'hano. So when all the dust settles in two lines, Rav Ashi ended the 300-year discussion, and he said, push comes to shove, the machlekes atanoim. In the case of the fellows eating the pizza of Hektesh on Pesach, you want to know, is he chai mi'il or not? The answer is, it depends on one factor and one factor alone. Are you a Rabbi Yossi Aglili person or not? If you believe in Rabbi Yossi Aglili, then it's worth, the chametz has value to it. If the chametz has value to it, you could sell it for other hanos, then you owe him meal. You stole from the Beis HaMikdash something that has value. If you hold like the Rabbanon, that the chametz is worthless, because it's also about, no, there's nothing in all the Beis HaMikdash could ever sell this chametz for, since they cannot sell the chametz, you weren't moil behektish. You didn't detract, you didn't steal, you didn't trespass anything, because you took something that was absolutely worthless. So when all the dust settles, the machlokes atanoim ba me'ila, it's really a very simple machlokes. Really not as complicated as we thought it was. It's a simple machlokes. It's a chametz machlokes. If you believe in Rabbi Yossi Aglili, chametz is mutabana, then chametz has value. If you believe in the Rabbanan, that chametz is asar bana, then chametz has no value. But the problem is, and what's ultimately going to affect our sugya, is that Rav Ashi said, by the way, ein poldin es hakotsh b'chilek lovim. That's not negotiable. Everyone agrees to that. That you're not allowed to be pulled the hekdesh to feed to the dogs. So I ask you, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what are you going to be pulled to this pizza for? Again, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the only reason why it has value is because theoretically you could redeem it. Who's going to give for what? What would be the purpose of redeeming it? What could you ever redeem it for? Ain't poldres akash rechilik lovim. You can't feed it to the dogs. So what must be the answer? True, you can't feed it to the dogs, but you could use it for firewood. You could use it for other hanos. There are other benefits that would be permissible. So from the fact that the Gemara says in the same breath, ain't poldres akashim, but according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's okay, it's mutabana. The Gemara is taking a stand in Achakira. The Gemara is saying that Achilas Klavim B'Ksula B'Kdoshim is only Achilas Klavim, nothing else. You can't feed to the dogs. That I got. But to do other things with it, just a date. And since it's Mutta B'Shar Hanos, other benefits are permissible, therefore it's worth money. So it seems pretty clear that Achakira, one side of Achakira is that Achilas Klavim is off limits. All other kinds of anos are permissible. So now this sets the stage for our sugya. Take a look at the fifth of the Marmakomos, Tosus and Baba Kama Daf and Gimel and Aleph. Tosus, the Gemara there and Gimel is talking about the same topic as on the test about Bor and Psulei Bagdashim. Comes Tosus with the following: the Afidu Leman Diomar Ein Podin Kosha. The muchach leperakosha, it just took us 20 minutes to figure out what Tosas took about three words. It's muchach in the second parak of Psachim, the hainu davka lachin leklavim. That when we speak about ein podin sakoshim, that means you're not allowed to feed it to the dogs. Aval hasikan tachas tavshilo podin. But if you want to redeem it, again, assuming that's mutabah, no, assuming it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's the case. But from the vantage point of hekdesh, ein podin would not apply to other kinds of anos. The kuleyamu would be okay. In the sugya that we just read of Eichel Chametz Lektish B'Moed, so Tosu says it is clear as day in that sugya that other anos are permissible. Umasik Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi concludes there, L'kuliyama ein poldin v'chulei, L'kuliyama dover gol mamon lav kemamon dami, Ubeplugs Rav Yosik Liv Rabban and Kamiflegi, everything we just read, Alma midemo'al, Poldin la siko takastav shilo, olitzach and acheres, pure shama kuntris. So comes Tosfos and says it's clear as day from that sugya that it's that all other hanos are permissible. The aim with the moa, before Tosfos comes to the real kash, he said, don't wonder how did that happen. Maishno achilas kelav bishahanos. How did Chazal figure this out that only feeding to the dogs is asur, but using his firewood is okay? The Duma maybe came with the miyate bevechalt of all klavecha. That since the whole the Torah doesn't say v'dabashem mashalema, don't be nena from Sulei Mekdash. Don't say that. It says v'dabashem mashalema. It says in effect v'achalta. And now we're memayit. Now the Torah Shavapeh excludes anything similar to achila. So achilas adam is mutter. In contrast, to achilas klavim is asur. Using as firewood, there's there. It's not achila. It's not achila. So everything's mutter to prove an asur. So this is one side of Achakira. Tosus is highlighting where we started the shiur this morning, that maybe it's a special quirk, it's a special gzeir sakosov, klavim is off limits, everything else is okay. But now Tosus has a problem. Tosus said this was part of a, we picked up the Tosus halfway, but now Tosus presents the kasha. So l'chora, this observation, This observation that Tosfos just made, based on the reading of the Gemara Pesachim, now is very, very difficult, because this seems to undermine our entire sugya. Why are we talking about the sugya in the first place? Because we're learning the halachas of bor. And the Torah says, v'meisielo, that the only time the parasha of bor applies is if the nizak can walk away with the animal and use it for something. If the animal is yatsa she'ena meisielo, if the mace doesn't belong to him, if he can't use the carcass at the end anyway, then the whole parasha of bor doesn't apply. So Frek Tais, yes, Tais the kasha, wait a second. He said, what do you mean the mace is not shelo? I dug a pit, and your psalm mikdashim fell into my pit. So I laugh at you and say, I don't have to pay you a penny. You know why? It's not a meshalah, because after all, that animal's off limits to you. What do you do with it? You can't redeem it to feed your dogs. Why? Because I dug up a pasuk in Parshas Ray. I'm a big lamdan. I'm a big mazik and a big lamdan. I dug up a pasuk and says, yechatlul kalecha. So therefore, you don't have the option of using that animal for anything. So if the Bala Behema is smart, and he learned Pesachim Chavtes, he'll say, wait a second, Mr. Balabor. He said, true, I agree to you. I don't have the option of using this animal to feed to the dogs. That is correct. I'm in full fulfillment of the din of Echad Lo Kolecha. But guess what? I could use it for firewood, so it's Vameis Yali. It's my animal. Where does it say in the Chumash, Vameis Yalo means you have to be able to feed it to your dogs? The Torah just says, but Meisielo, that the Nizik has to have use of the animal that got damaged, that got killed. So what's the difference whether he has use to feed to the dogs, he has use to use as firewood? As long as the Nizik has something to go on, that should be okay. What could be the problem? So that's Tosfos Kasha. That Tosfos presentation of the Kasha. That on the one hand, in our sugya, it would appear that Psulim HaKdosh but off limits the Gamri. That the other side of the Chakir is correct. That V'chaltav lo l'klavecha. Klavecha is just an example of other benefits. All hanos under the sun are off limits by Psulim HaKdosh. That's the only reason why there's no Chiv HaBor. Because it's not called the magic words V'meis Yalo. So the Gemara in Bava Kama Dev Tes seems to assume that V'chaltav lo l'klavecha is just an example of all hanos. And that's why the Balabor is butter. But the Gemara Pesachim says, Beferish, not that way. So that's the Kasha. So it took us 40 minutes just to appreciate the Kasha of Tosfos. You see the way the Balabor Tosfos learned. Tosfos is learning about Sigi and Rav Kama. So they have their eyes in Pesachim Chavtes. And they got their eyes in Bechayrit. Their eyes in Tumur. They got their hands all over Shas, just trying to put together the piece of the puzzle to try to appreciate, to understand where the Kasha is. So what's the answer? So Tosfos says that if you look carefully in the sugya, in the third of Mamakomos, so yes, it's true that Rav Ashi in the fourth of Mamakomos gave this presentation, but Rav Yosef, we're going to leave out the details, intricacies of Rav Yosef's chat, Rav Yosef gave a different view. Rav Yosef had a whole different presentation in the Machlokes, and Tosfos says, if you take a look at the very last line of the Tosfos in the fifth of Mamakomos, that it's actually the second line. Umil aliba de Rav Yosef to mefarsh hasam liolam bepod rachash chilukah tzarich lama vade the ain chiluk berachilas kel v'shahanaos. So Tosfos throws the hands up and says, you know what? You're right. That Rav Ashi is against our sugya, but maybe Rav Yosef is the author of our sugya. V'shema Rava k'Rav Yosef v'ulei. That maybe Rava, who says the statement in Bava Kama Daf and Gimel Mideis, that you put the Veshop Suliyam Kashin, maybe he doesn't hold like Rav Ashi. Maybe Rav Ashi wouldn't hold like Gemara. That's what Tosfos throws the hands up, they're not sure. So the later Acharonim say, it's a very, very, oh, Gavaldik, Mori's Bamish on the ball. So come the Acharonim, and I don't know, the Acharonim underlined, or Mori underlined it, Maskev for Rav Ashi, what Tosfos is talking about? Tosfos says that Rav Ashi probably doesn't hold like Asugya. Doesn't hold like Asugya. Rav Ashi's name is written in the Sugya, Master Rav Ashi. He's the one who said it in the first place. So it's a very, very difficult Tosfos. So you have to wait now for 3 days to find out what the other answer is. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shema on the Tuesday. So we'll have to come back to another answer with Taizim Masechus Pesachim Chavtes. So basically, asks the identical Kasha and comes up with a very, very different answer. So the Kasha is a very, very strong. It's a big pell on Taizim. How Taizim could say such a thing that Rav Ashi maybe disagrees. And again, it doesn't seem to fit into our text in the Gemara. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shema on Tuesday. We'll have to come back to this Taizim Kasha.